Welcome to The Impact Factor, how to get noticed, motivate millions, and make a difference in a noisy world.
Ken MacArthur, what can I say about Ken MacArthur other than Ken has become a good friend?
You know a great person when you meet him, and I just want to tell you, he's a great man.
He has amassed a number of experts to speak to you.
Ken is one of those guys that as soon as you meet him, he just draws you in, almost like a grandfather with a chocolate bar and you're a little kid.
And then Ken's also like the mother bird that he pushes you out of the nest even when you think you're not ready to fly, and you actually do fly. So thank you, Ken, for pushing me out of the nest.
All you have to do is just do a Google search on Ken MacArthur, and you can see the amazing reputation this man has.
Okay, the last time we talked, I told you not to listen to anybody who says that you can't do it. So what am I going to do next? I'm going to throw away a bunch of listeners. I hate doing this, but I have to do it if I'm going to meet my goals. I really want you to succeed. What's more, I want to help you for as long as you want to keep trying. Nevertheless, the fact is that some people shouldn't focus right now on creating massive impact. And that someone may be you. Think for a minute about whether now is the best time for you to create your maximum impact. Some people shouldn't focus on creating maximum impact even if they can. Don't worry, I stand by what I said before. If you want to have an impact, you can. Your impact isn't about aptitude tests or abilities. It's about setting goals, taking action, measuring results, and above all else, persistence. If you don't have aptitudes or abilities, you can get help. But if you don't have persistence, then all is lost. People with all kinds of mental and physical handicaps have been successful in creating massive impact, so don't let your limitations stop you. I've got plenty of limitations myself. I discovered a few of them when I went back to college after 14 years off. My wife wanted me to study computer programming, but I told her that if I went to all the trouble and expense of going back to school, that I wanted to study music. Notice, there seems to be a pattern here. I always seem to be going against the flow. There are a couple of obvious problems with my choice. I wanted to study choral music and composition, but I sang bass baritone, and I didn't even know the notes on the bass clef. Luckily, I had some great professors who stuck with me through some heavy learning curves because I had to support the wife and kids at the same time I was going to school. Picture a 30-year-old man with a wife and two young daughters, barely getting by working in a computer store with only a dream of going back to school. Each week there are mounds of bills to pay, and each day I spend my time working hard to get by. There are plenty of bills, and going back to school means more expenses and much less time. I keep my full-time job and add two part-time jobs to generate extra funds, but I know that I really have to push to get through school as quickly as possible. Burnout is a real possibility. I set my goal of getting through a full 4-year program in only 2 years, but there's a slight problem. The university has rules about how many credit units I can take in a single year. Luckily, my computer background helps out a bit, and I discovered that if I sign up for 4 credits under the maximum number of credits, I can keep adding 3 credit classes each day without the computer catching the fact that I am carrying double the maximum number of credits. It's a compromise. I'd love to be able to take a leisurely stroll through my education, but finances and family make it impossible. I'm doing well in school, but nevertheless, there are problems, and one of the problem areas is piano.
Hi, it's Singing Steve Berman. Listen, Ken MacArthur is the most amazing, fantastic, and mysterious guy. You should always listen to what he has to say, no matter where you are and what he's doing, because he has connections with the greatest, most amazing, mysterious people. So, this is Singing Steve. Goodbye!
Music is a performance major. Many of the courses require countless hours of practice for far too credits. I have 0 piano skills, and in order to complete my degree, I have to prove that I am competent playing a piano. I really want to take all of the piano courses and learn how to play well, because I know it's an important skill to have. Unfortunately, all of the piano classes meet when I have to work. There is one way out. If I can take a test and prove that I can play the piano well, I can skip the required classes. Bottom line, I need to pass the piano proficiency test, so I find a teacher to tutor me and teach me exactly the skills needed to pass the test. I study hard, and when I think I'm ready, I schedule a test. I play the Star Spangled Banner in three keys, play from four different clefs, jump through the hoops, skip my credit, and squeak by the test. I'm qualified!
Hi, it's Charlie Seymour Jr. of the VideoMarketingGuys.com, and you're listening to Ken MacArthur's podcast, The Impact Factor. Now listen closely to this guy. He's someone who can aim you in the right direction, give you the path, push you toward your goal. He's all about impact. You want to pay attention to him. He's also a great connector. Ken MacArthur, The Impact Factor.
It wasn't easy, and I didn't see a lot of my family for a while, but in two quick years, I got my bachelor's and started working for my master's degree and went looking for a teaching job. That's when my almost zero piano skills came back to haunt me. Music teaching jobs weren't easy to come by, but finally I landed my first interview in Long Beach, California. It was a long commute, but it was an exciting opportunity for me, and I was thrilled. I also had a couple of advantages. Unlike most recent college graduates, I knew how to act on a job interview, and I sounded polished, professional, and amazingly similar to a wonderful teacher. I breezed through the interview and was feeling great about my prospects of landing the job when the person who was interviewing me said, "One quick thing, just play this piece of piano music for me." I froze solid. Ever had that deer in the headlights look? Everything that I might have known about piano instantly blew out of my completely empty brain. I was stunned, blank, immobile. I was completely embarrassed, fumbled out a few notes, mumbled an apology, and quickly left. After years of sacrifice, work, and study, there was no way I was going to be able to get that job, or seemingly any job, working in music. It hit me hard as I went down several flights of stairs to the lobby of the building, and I stood there thinking for a long time. Finally, I took a deep breath and decided to climb back up the stairs. Timidly, I knocked on the department head's door and said, "I know that I just completely blew my interview. I just wanted to see if you have suggestions for how I can do a better job the next time I interview with someone." The kind man told me not to worry, that he understood my panic. We talked for a few minutes. I even played a little bit of a piano piece that I knew just so that he would know I wasn't a complete idiot. He was gracious and made a few other suggestions, and I left. It didn't look good for a job offer, so I arranged to stay with the part-time teaching job I'd been working at while I studied. It wasn't much, but at least it was experience, and I knew that I needed experience to get the full-time music job. Unexpectedly, a week before the school began, I got a phone call. It was the department head from Long Beach, and he had a job offer for me. Although I didn't know it at the time, the head of the music department had been struggling with young first-time teachers. Freshly minted scholars often felt that they knew everything there was to know about teaching and wouldn't take advice. The simple fact that I came back up those stairs to ask him for advice landed the job. Despite a lack of piano skills, my persistence paid off, and it came with you too. Just one thing. Creating massive impact may be picking up dog poop for you.
Hey, this is Lori Ruff, the LinkedIn Diva, and you are listening to Ken MacArthur on The Impact Factor.
Remember that I told you about Mark Joyner's two options, sex or picking up dog poop, when he talks about what you really want to be doing. The hard, cold fact is that creating massive impact may be picking up dog poop for you. If you don't feel as thrilled about creating an impact as you do about having sex, this may be a sign that you don't want to make the investment. I can hear you now. Ken, aren't you being a little bit extreme here? No, maybe. But here's a little known truth. Creating impact is an addiction, and if you aren't getting a high from making a difference, it's going to destroy you. As with most addictions, it may destroy you even if you do love it. The only difference is that if you love what you are doing, you will have a great time on your way to destruction. So what are some signs that you shouldn't be trying this? Try some of these on for size and see if they fit you. I can't stand change. I need a steady paycheck. I really don't like people. I can't seem to take action. I hate to do new things. I hate doing sales. I hate keeping records. I hate the government. I can't pay the grocery bill next week. The landlord just kicked me out. Nobody likes me, and so forth. Don't worry too much if you find a few things in the list that fit you. A couple of them fit me. I love change and love to learn new things, but I don't like accounting much, and the government drives me a little crazy sometimes. I'd be a lot better business person if I loved keeping records and doing sales, but no one is perfect, and you don't have to be perfect to be successful. Thank God for that. What you do have to realize is that you have to deal with many of the things that are on that list if you want to create massive impact. So decide now whether this is what you want to spend a ton of time and money on. Do you want to be doing this even though you would rather be doing something else? Let's imagine that you have me convinced. Creating massive impact is your mission in life. Your best friend, your spouse, parents, kids, enemies, and even your competition think this would be perfect for you. People are offering you thousands of dollars to help you reach your dreams. You have 50,000 people waiting in line to sign up. You'll absolutely keel over dead if you can't create massive impact. But even if you are a perfect fit, this may not be the perfect time. I get people contacting me all the time who are at the end of their rope, clawing for threads to hang on for just one more second so that they can take the big swing at changing the world. Don't do it. I can hear you now. Kim, I have to do this. I'm out of options. I just got a divorce. I'm going to go into rehab tomorrow and I can't pay my rent. I can't take care of my kids. The car is being repossessed tomorrow. I just lost my job and I don't have any job skills, even if someone was stupid enough to give me one. I need a purpose in life. Don't do it. I'm not saying you can't have your dream. You can. But now is not the time to start creating massive impact. Don't spend your last dollar on success book recordings, websites, info products, seminars, or promises. If you get down to your last dollar, spend it on food for the kids and then get some help. Go to your religious group, your government, your friends, or your enemies and get some help. Then find a job that will pay you something, anything, right now so that you can get yourself out of this mess. Get your head straightened out, your body well, your mind working again. Keep your dream. Heal, learn, dream, and grow. Try saving a few pennies, but for your own sake, don't start to change the world until you have your personal and financial life in some kind of decent order. Your life doesn't have to be perfect. Nobody has a perfect life. Face it. You already have a good idea whether this is the right time for you. What I'm trying to do is to force you to think about it. You need to think about it. Even if this is the last thing you want to think about in the middle of your wonderful dream, creating massive impact will add to your pressures, not magically take them away. If you can't cope now, adding more to your plate won't help. Be honest. Changing the world isn't easy. You're still listening after all we've been through together, so now let's get to the fun part. There are many ways to create impact. However, the real question is how you want to create massive impact. I've gone through some changes in an approach myself. I've tried a lot of different models along the way, so let me tell you what I did, and maybe you can see yourself fitting in somewhere along the way. I learn best by example. If someone can tell me how he or she did something, I can usually modify that example to fit my strengths and weaknesses. I hope it will work for you too. Modeling the behaviors of people that are doing the same things that you want to do is a powerful way to fulfill your own dreams and turn them into reality. When I started my business, I needed money fast and I couldn't spend anything, so the first thing I tried to sell was my skills. The internet was starting to take off and people were learning that they were going to miss out if they didn't get on the internet. Brick and mortar businesses were terrified that if they didn't get online right now, they would be out of business soon. I knew how to make websites, so I started farming myself out. First, I went to an existing client and built a site for him. I even talked him into putting my site on the same server as his for a reduced price. So now I had a website at no cost. On my website, I created a simple price list for the services I was going to offer and waited for sales to happen. Okay, so you've got 20/20 hindsight and you know what happened. This time you're right. Nothing happened. It's the beginning of the internet boom. Millions of people think that they will die if they don't have what I'm offering. Even better, not many people know how to create websites. Perfect timing, high demand, limited supply. Still, nothing happened. This would be a good time for a mentor. Not being shy about asking for help, I met again with Ed Johnson and Mike Wirt. Ed and Mike must know every person on the planet between the two of them. What's more, they share all of those wonderful relationships with any person they can help by introducing them to someone else. That pretty much covers all of us. Ed took me down to meet his friend at the local hardware store. Mike introduced me to the head of a nursing school, and they didn't stop there. Banks, nonprofit organizations, research facilities, hospitals, schools, and the list went on, person after person, until I was able to make a living on the internet. I know what you're thinking. This isn't the making a living on the internet that most people have in mind when they start dreaming about easy riches. Well, it wasn't my perfect ideal situation, but I was making a living and I couldn't have done it without the internet. The internet was my brochure, my demonstration, and my clients' websites were their final product. Despite all of the help that Mike and Ed gave me, it wasn't easy. I was living job to job, hoping the jobs would keep coming, and Ed and Mike wouldn't run out of friends. I was reinventing the wheel each time I did a job, and I noticed that a lot of my clients wanted the same things. This is where you can start seeing the value of systems. We do something repeatedly. When you see repetition, start seeing a system. Systems can save you countless hours. In many cases, systems allow you to do the work once and then leverage the system for years to come. I decided to build a software platform that would make it possible to give many of my clients what they wanted without having to write everything from scratch every time. I needed a system. I also wanted the tools, software, and connectivity that it took to build larger systems, and that took money. Ed and Mike told me that money is not a problem for a good business. All I needed was a great business plan. Luckily, with the internet boom in my favor, and more importantly, Mike and Ed casting aside their finely tuned business judgment for a moment, I managed to talk them into investing in my company. Next time, we're going to talk about how you get a rock to stand on. The three essential ingredients to have a real impact. The story isn't over yet, and you need to accept that you're going to find some trouble. Be sure and subscribe to this broadcast on iTunes. Download the recording, stuff it in your file of learning materials, and let's make an impact together.
This is my first introduction to Ken, and I have to say I think he's an absolutely phenomenal individual. He has felt like he has held my hand, even though he really hasn't, to try and help me move forward in my projects that I'm working on. His caring demeanor is absolutely astonishing.
I would like to highly recommend that you check out Ken MacArthur and anything that he has to offer. Ken has given me some awesome advice. In fact, I consider Ken a legend in the internet marketing arena, and I go to him anytime I'm about to launch a new product or if I need marketing advice or strategic advice. I go to Ken first because I know that his advice is gold. It's pure gold. So make sure that you pick up anything that Ken has to offer. Get to an event of his. You're going to learn a ton from this man. Highly recommended.
And I just want to say that if you ever have a chance to meet Ken MacArthur in person, you have to take that chance. Just drop whatever you're doing, take time off from work, and just go to whatever event he is hosting, because it's just an incredible experience.
The latest and greatest information is always available at kenmacarthur.com.